And you're witnessing lots and lots of conversions at this time, and people are coming to Christ.
And there was no baptistry here. This is a Methodist church. You don't need a baptistry. You just need a cup of water, and you go like this, you know.
So why don't you talk a little bit about the history of?
So we had to go to a Baptist church in North Hollywood and baptize them because we didn't have a baptistry.
Oh.
Yeah, we borrowed their water.
How long did that? So. That required teaching about what baptism.
Yeah, I mean, I came to a church that didn't have a baptistry.
Right.
And I think baptism is a required, commanded New Testament ordinance for believers. So, you know, they had a policy here of baptism is negotiable. You can be sprayed, sprinkled, dripped on, immersed, or nothing if you want.
Yeah.
And that was just a reflection of the lack of a doctrinal statement. Mm. So we started that, and then when we went to built the gym, if you go in the gym now and you look at the front, on the right was a baptistry. That was a baptistry there, behind that sort of Taco Bell arch. And
I mean, I'm in there regularly. I'm gonna start using that. Not the baptistry, the arch phraseology. So teaching the people about baptism, and undoubtedly because you're teaching what the Bible says about church leadership, you're probably attracting some Presbyterian kind of people into the church.
Sure.
And those folks.
Well, first of all, you had all these leaders who had never been baptized or who had been sprinkled when they were babies. So finding a path of patience and yet firmness that, look, we need to do this because this is right. And we've got to get past giving people options here. It took some time. And as I said, we didn't have a baptistry so that we could demonstrate this. And when we finally did get one, that's when I said, you know, I have to make much of baptism. I have to make much of baptism because they've had none of it. So that's when I said, we're going to do it differently. We're not just going to have five people and run them through and put them in the water and pull them out. We're going to slow the whole process down so that it becomes a living, dynamic, and wonderful experience. And that's when I said, we're going to have everybody who's baptized come into the water, give a personal testimony. We're still doing that now, 40 years later. That was really born out of the fact that we wanted it to be important and prominent in everything that would honor the Lord.
And so in that transition or in that growth to become a church that practices believers' baptism, tell us about those convictions about baptism. I'm thinking of a lot of folks I've talked to who are maybe afraid of that opportunity to, you know.
Well, I'd be afraid not to be baptized.
Why is that?
Because you're not being obedient. I don't want to be in a position to be disobedient to the Lord. That's not tough. That's not brain surgery. You know, just come and share a simple testimony and be willing to proclaim Christ publicly and openly. That, for the privilege of confessing Him before men who will then confess you before men, and also for the proclamation side of it to those who come and hear your testimony. I'm always afraid of disobedience anyway as a believer, and particularly that which is obvious. So this isn't overly difficult. If the idea of saying something paralyzes people, that, you know, we'd be happy to say it for them.
Right.
We'd be happy to say it for them. Better to say nothing and have something read or something put in print or whatever to give your testimony if that's an issue. But I think to take that step for Christ and be willing to speak in the church is a pretty good indicator that you'd also be willing to speak of Christ in the world.
Mm.
If you're too shy to speak of Christ in the church, then are you going to be so shy that you can't speak of Christ in the world either? Mm. Because you have a mandate to do that. This is the most comfortable place to break that barrier.
And we see the evangelistic implications of baptism. A person comes to Christ, they're baptized. Talk a little bit about the meaning and significance of baptism.
Look, the Lord only gave us two ordinances to follow. One looks at His cross, and that's the Lord's table, the blood and the bread. The other looks at His resurrection. And this is just all that's left of all the symbolism under the Old Covenant. This is all there is to remember His death in this dramatic demonstration and to remember His resurrection in an equally dramatic resurrection. Eating the bread and the cup is like John 6. It's a symbol of eating Christ, of taking in His death for us. and being baptized, put into the water and lifted out of the water is to symbolize being buried with him in death and rising with him in newness of life. And these are simple, symbolic things, but they're non-negotiable ordinances that he's given to us. And I don't think they're hard to figure out in the scripture. You can't find infant baptism anywhere in the Bible at all. And the word baptize means to dip into water, so it's not spraying or sprinkling that it's talking about. So you have a simple, beautiful ordinance in which you confess the death of Christ, and then another one in which you confess the resurrection of Christ and your union with him in his death and in his resurrection.
And so the symbolism of baptism is powerful. It's also an initiatory rite. Mm. So we ask that people are baptized as believers before they join the church.
Sure. If you look around, you see nothing but a cross in front. You don't see a lot of holy hardware hanging all over the place. But we don't have any mandate to do that. We have a mandate to focus on the cross of Christ at his table and the resurrection in the waters of baptism. And because that's all we have, that communicates that that's all the Lord gave us to have. You know, you go into some kind of a Catholic cathedral and, you know, you're just literally blasted with all this stuff, all this symbolism all over the map. And it would be very hard to sort out anything that was really significant. But here it's easy. This and the baptism, you know, we're sitting on the baptistry as we speak. That's it. And the cross is there to mark out this place as a place where the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted.
Now that you've heard from John, let us know what you think. Go to gty.org/audioblog and leave your comment. Again, that's gty.org/audioblog. Thanks for listening.